Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello. And welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we're going to specialise in a local charity called the North Ayrshire Cancer Care. And I have with me in the studio Mr. Tommy McNamara. He and his wife Ray are quite heavily involved in North Ayrshire Cancer Care, been so for a number of years, and in this area we hear a lot about it. Just before I came out to the studio today, I had a phone call from a funeral family wanting to have a retiral offering at the end of the funeral, and they nominated the North Ayrshire Cancer Care. So you've probably heard the name, and let's tonight find out more about it. So Tommy's with me right now. Thank you very much, Tommy, for coming to the studio.
My pleasure.
And would you like to say a wee bit about this North Ayrshire Cancer Care charity that you've been involved in then?
Well, North Ayrshire Cancer Care is a local charity. It supplies a transport system for patients to travel to and from the hospital. It also supplies therapies, counselling, any advice that MD is needing for any cancer problem that they have. We are actually run by a committee of 15 volunteers, 10 male, 5 women. We meet once a month. We go through any problems, anything that's asked of us. We then solve the problems. We go on from there. The charity covers an area from Coewinning to Weems Bay to Beath. We also cover Millport and we cover Rossy because they do not have a charity that supplies any for cancer patients. We would supply a driver or anything in Arran if it was required, but Arran have their own cancer charity. So we would only cover them if they couldn't
be
managed.
You've got your own area and other similar charities.
All charities in Ayrshire have their own areas. Yeah. Other than Ayrshire Cancer Support, they are supposed to cover the full of Ayrshire. Obviously, Ayrshire's too big an area for one charity, so there's actually 4 charities in Ayrshire.
Right.
Ayrshire Cancer Support, North Ayrshire Cancer Care, Irvine Cancer Care, and ACAS, that's the Arran Cancer Care. That is basically our main function in life, is to help cancer patients.
Right. And the main thing you do is the driving?
The biggest outlay is driving. The driver will pick up the patient. First of all, the driver will phone the patient 2 days before their appointment, tell the patient exactly when they're going to pick them up. We expect the driver to pick the patient up at the time that they said, take the patient up to the hospital. If the patient requires any guidance in where to go, the driver will take the patient there. The driver then sits and he waits for the patient. The patient comes back out. The driver then takes the patient home. Once he takes the patient home, the average time is 3 hours. If a patient had 20 appointments and you took all the time for the 20 appointments and you divided them by the amount, you would discover that it's roughly about 3 hours for every trip. Mm. It depends on how the hospital is handling. Now, like say, if a machine breaks down, the driver will likely be a wee while longer than that.
I think everyone knows that when you go to hospital, you can't be exact budgeting your time. Yeah. So it's quite a sacrifice by the volunteers, a lot of time.
it is a big sacrifice because they could be away for 5 hours, not just 3 hours, depending if the patient gets held up.
Mm-hmm.
If the patient is going to be away for, say, 4 or 5 hours, we wouldn't expect the drivers to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen was the driver would tell the patient that he's leaving, make sure the patient has got the phone number of the centre. He'll also tell the patient that we have an emergency 24-hour service, so as if it's after 8 office hours, we can be contacted. And then what will happen is whoever the contact, whether it be the centre or whether it be whoever supplying the 24-hour service, they will then arrange for transport to bring them home. We would bring the patient home at any time of the night. If they wanted to come home at 9 o'clock, we would bring them home.
Mm. So it's a 24-hour sort of service?
It is a 24-hour service.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are the only group that supplies that service.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're the only group in Ayrshire that supplies it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would take patients into the likes of the hospital at the weekend. We have taken patients in at 7 o'clock mm-hmm. in a Sunday morning to the likes of mostly the Glasgow Royal. It doesn't happen a lot. I mean, you maybe say half a dozen times in, say, 6 months. The reason that we do that is if we didn't take the patient in, they'd either have to make their own way in or they could go by the transport system, but they would take them in on Friday, which means they're in mm-hmm. early on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then normally they get their operation on the Monday, and that's how they like to be in. They like us to get them in at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we're thinking a lot about driving cars and journeys, so our first piece of music today is by The Cars, and it's entitled Drive. You're listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, where we're interviewing Tommy McNamara, who works for the North Ayrshire Cancer Care. So what's your particular part in the setup, Tommy?
I am what you call the transport coordinator. What I do is I coordinate everything with the women in the office. We have a different volunteer, women volunteer, in our office each day, which is hard. You know, it used to, because we don't pay MD, we couldn't expect MD to stay in there and work for a week. So we have a different one. I just make sure that they know what's going on. Any problems, I'll sort it for them. I actually do all the transport a fortnight before it's due. Now, let's say on a Thursday night, I'll take the book home, I'll look at it, I'll decide what drivers is going with who. Now, it's not for that week, it's for the following week, so that I try and give the drivers as much notice as possible, because we have a few drivers that do certain days for us. So what we try to do is we try to make sure we use them all the time, and that's one of the reasons why I keep doing it. Plus, if we give them a week's notice, they always do it, especially the drivers that is in a single day, because they basically have left the full day for us. We could actually get them to do two runs if we wanted, anything like that.
It sounds very complicated, because you have to balance everybody's commitments. And
It's complicated when you start, but it's like every other system that you want to set up. I actually set the system up for them 8 years ago. The system set up to make sure that a patient is never let down. If the patient obeys our rules, and the only rule that they need to know is if the driver doesn't contact them 2 days before their appointment, they have got to let the office know the next morning. The office will then find out why the driver's not phoned. And in a lot of cases, it's never the driver's fault. The patient's maybe not in, or there's something wrong with their phone. So that's the kind of troubleshooting that I would do.
And what does your wife do in this setup?
Well, Ray backs me up in the transport, especially the 24-hour service. I mean, if I've got to go out and raise in the house, if there's a problem comes up, Ray has full knowledge of the system, the same as me. She can handle any problem we have. Ray is also the secretary. She writes all the letters. Any donations we get, Ray will arrange a letter to be sent out to the donor.
And I would like to add, on your behalf, that I know that they both do an awful lot of good work, morning, noon and night. They're always wearing the hat, working for North Ayrshire Cancer Care. And we do appreciate all that you do in that regard.
What you must remember is we have quite a lot of volunteers.
How many volunteers altogether?
Roughly about 200.
Right.
We have 50 drivers. We keep a pool around about 50 drivers. We need 50 drivers because, as I said, the area that we cover is quite a large area.
And are they out driving most days? You know, you're talking about actively on the go nearly, most of them.
Basically, each driver will do between 2 and 3 runs in the week for us. See, the problem is, you don't really want them to drive the full week, because they could end up have a tax problem, because the driver is only allowed to get a certain amount of petrol money. Once they go over a certain amount, the government then wants their share.
Which seems a bit harsh. They're all doing it for free, using their own cars.
That's just a fact of life. I mean, in a lot of cases with charities, once you start to get involved with a charity, you get your eyes opened. You see things that you just do not believe, you know, comes from government run.
If there was one thing that's a bee in your bonnet one, what would that be? What would you want the government to do different?
I would like to see them having a better transport system for patients, especially for elder patients.
In what way?
To take them back and forward to hospital. If the patient is fit and able to go by bus, they're expected to go by bus.
Right.
I mean, once you get involved in something like that, you just do not believe the things that happen. Like, I had a patient phone me up one night. The conversation went like this. Mr. McNamara, yes, I've been told that you might be able to help me. What's the problem? I've got to go to Gart Naval Hospital. I says, right, I've only got 2 questions to ask you. Are you a cancer patient? Yes. Where do you stay? Largs. I says, right, there's no problem. I says, what to do is, I'll give you a phone number, phone our main office tomorrow morning, speak to the girl in there, and she'll arrange transport. Oh, it's not as simple as that. I says, why is it not as simple as that? He says, because I've got to go in one day and come back out the next day. I says, well, that to us is no problem. I says, what will happen is, the driver will take you up to Gartneville. He'll see that you get where you are, and an hour and a half before you're due to get discharged, you give our office a ring. They will arrange transport for you. What I discovered was the age of the woman was 84, and they expected her to go by bus or by train to Glasgow.
Mm.
That to me is ridiculous. I mean, they don't even ask the patient their age, and they just seem to think that anybody at any age can actually travel back and forward. It's not just as simple as that. That's one of the big reasons why we supply the system that we supply. A lot of people don't realise that, especially cancer patients, they'll maybe go anything from 5 treatments to 50 treatments.
Mm.
Although as the years has gone on, when I first started 17 years ago, regularly it was 40 treatments. Now you're down between 20 and 30, which is a lot easier for the patients. But this is the kind of thing that we are trying to help patients with. A lot of people don't realise. In fact, I told the hospital one time that it's no cancer is going to kill this patient. It's going to be travelling back and forth on the bus.
I know. It's not easy, yeah. Well, in the light of that, our next song's quite appropriate because it's Harry Lauder singing Keep Right On to the End of the Road. So Tommy, tell me how the cancer, North Ayrshire Cancer Care started off.
The charity was actually started in 1989. It was formed by a local woman, Bec Gibson. It started in a shop at 95 Glasgow Street, Rosslyn. It was called Cunningham Cancer Care. It then moved to Unit 5 due to local restructuring. And in 1995, it changed its name to North Ayrshire Cancer Care as it was expanding in the community. And in 1998, it moved to Muirside Lodge, the new centre, which was funded by the National Lottery. That's how they got started.
But I think it's an interesting story about Beth Gibson, that she started with her own car and with her own petrol.
That's right.
Yeah. £10 for petrol, I think she put in.
What happened was, Bet was a ward sister at Kilmarnock Hospital. She actually joined Ayrshire Cancer Support for a small period of time and then decided that she would like to start up her own group. So that was when she moved into here. And as you said, she started, the council gave her a shop and an office for 6 months. Free of charge to get her started. She started with £10, and I think within a short period of time, somebody gave her £100, and that was how she got on. She did a lot of the driving herself, as far as I know. Her husband, Alec, was heavy involved as well, but Alec was working at the time, so he wouldn't be doing anything. But Alec would do maybe night driving or weekend driving.
So it just started with one woman's idea and doing it herself, and then sucking others in.
What happened was, it was Bet's idea, and there was another woman worked with her in Ayrshire Cancer Support.
Is that Mrs. Elsom?
Betty Elsom. And as far as I know, there was another three, and that was how the committee started. I don't know the names of the other one. I know there was one man in it, and the rest of them were women.
But from small beginnings, it's just growing.
It just expanded.
How's it doing now financially? How does that work?
Financially, we spend over £100,000 a year. That money is raised by ourselves, most of it anyway. We have six shops, and the six shops provide two-thirds of the money for transport. We spend over £100,000 a year alone in transport. Two-thirds, as I said, comes from our shops. The other third comes from donations, sponsors. Anybody that's wanting to do any kind of walk for us, anything at all, that's how the most. Local folk are very, very good to us.
You don't get any government grants
we
at
do,
all?
No, we don't get any money from MD. Now, one of the reasons why we don't ask for any money, one of the first things that we did when we got a new chairman and a new treasurer, we decided that we would not send any letters asking for money. Because we felt the way things was going, the way we had the shops, financially we'd be all right. And it has proven David right that financially we're strong, we don't have any problems. We're volunteers in the shops. I mean, you just wouldn't believe what they do. And I mean, you wouldn't believe what they do. Mm. You really need to get involved with charity to find out just exactly what everybody does and how they fit in. I tell everybody this, it's like a big jigsaw. A jigsaw is no good unless you've got every part to put in it. And everybody that's in our group plays a part. As I had said, £100,000, we get a lot of donations from patients, local clubs, local organisations.
It's also a fundamental principle, you never charge a patient.
No.
A donation if they give anything.
We don't ask them for a donation. The drivers are not allowed to ask. What you discover is a high percentage of the patients will say, how do I make a donation, believe it or not? And we say to them, if you wish to give us a donation, we are more than grateful to get a donation off you. What you do is you just make the donation, decide what you want to give us, take it into Muirside Lodge or send it into Muirside Lodge. And then what happens is you'll get a receipt to say that we have received the money, even though you take it in yourself, we still send out a letter. As I said earlier on, that's where my wife comes in. Ray writes all the thank you letters.
Just changing the subject slightly, what else do you do for patients besides the driving?
We basically do anything that a patient we feel needs. I mean, a lot of things we would do is we would take a patient for, say, if they were going to get something done with their eyes, because they're a cancer patient, we could run them. We would run them down to air, bring them back. Even though their cancer's been cured, there's still a cancer patient as far as we're concerned. We supply therapies. We have two therapists. We supply counselling.
So I understand you do like massage.
Uh-huh.
Aromatherapy.
Therapy. Reflexology. We give each patient 4 free sessions. We also give their partner 4 free sessions. If the patient decides that they want a bit more therapies, we would subsidise them by a third for the rest of their life. That is solely for the patient.
There's something else you also do, which is worth noting, that when the drivers are driving them on the journey, like with taxis, they unburden their souls to the driver?
Yes. The reason I'm saying yes is we were actually looking for a counsellor. And one of my patients had said to me, Tommy, you've got 50 counsellors. What do you mean you've got 50 counsellors? Your drivers are better counsellors than MD, because what a lot of people don't realise is a high percentage of our drivers have either had cancer or there's somebody been close to them had cancer. They'll then help them. And I've seen a driver phoning me up and saying, Tommy, do you think you can give Mr. So-and-so a wee ring? He has got a cancer and you might be able to help him. And I've seen me phoning drivers that I know has had the cancer the same as what a patient has, and I'll say to them, listen, could you maybe give the patient a wee ring and tell them you've been through it and tell them what to expect and everything like that. Basically what the drivers are for, you know.
I was wondering what motivated the drivers to give so much of their time.
Well, you know now.
Yeah.
It's good, believe it or not, the amount of drivers that are helpful in that way. A lot of people don't like to talk about cancer, but the drivers can normally satisfy any of their needs with anything like that.
It must be a comfort to a patient to know the driver knows from the inside the
That's
problems.
That's right. Aye. Yeah.
Can we just pause for our next song, because it's appropriate to that thought? This is the Hollies. He ain't heavy, he's my brother.
It's a long, long road. From whence there is no return.
my brother.
So Tommy is the man who organises the car journeys with the drivers and the patients and trying to synchronise it all. Do you have some fun and games with matching drivers to patients?
Oh, I could sit here for a week and tell you about the different things, but what actually happened was when the woman that did the transport before me, what used to happen was the driver would get one patient and the patient would be going for 5 weeks. Now, I had a few laughs with some of the patients about it, and I decided that what I would do was I started to take different patients and I would ask them questions, right? And I says to this woman, how did you find your driver? Oh, she says, the driver was fine, you know. She says, why are you asking that, Tommy? I says, well, I'm setting up a new system and I kind of feel that having a driver for 5 weeks might not just be satisfactory. She says, what do you mean? I says, well, I'll give you a wee example. I says, you could feel uncomfortable with a driver. It wouldn't have been very pleasant for you driving 5 weeks. Oh, she says, well, while you mention it, she says, I had one driver. And I'll be honest with you, Tommy, I used to like Jimmy Shand. She said, but see, when you're listening to it for 5 weeks, she says, I couldn't make up my mind whether to choke Jimmy Shand or the driver.
Yeah, I can understand.
And I had a few. I had one chap that liked Sidney Devine. And the woman says, for 5 weeks, all I got was Tiny Bubbles. She said it was... Yeah. He must have had a tape where about Sidney Devine singing it for six times on the tape, you know, and she says it just drives you. She says the other thing was one of your drivers smokes, although he didn't smoke in the motor, but I could still smell the smoke off it. She says, and if you're going with him for maybe a couple of days, it'd be fine, but I wouldn't like to travel 5 weeks. So I then started to look and see what was the best way to do it. And what I decided was I was doing away with one driver, one patient. We would split them up and try and make it the patient having two drivers. What happened was I would go and speak to the patients and ask them how they got on with the driver and was there any problems. And I mean, I say to the patients, be honest, because remember, it's cancer patients we're dealing with. It's not very nice if a patient feels uncomfortable. I says, I want to know. I says, I'll speak to the driver about it. What I found out as well was one woman had said to me, I don't think the driver likes me. And I says, no, that's not the case. The driver is very quiet. He doesn't have a lot of conversation. And that was one of the things that when Bette Gibson interviewed me, she says, if you can talk to patients the full road up, it takes their mind off where they're going. And it does. I mean, it helps the patient if you keep talking. In fact, the woman I had yesterday says that was an awful quiet driver I had the day before. She said, but there's nothing wrong with the driver. It was just, it was very, very quiet. That is the kind of things that...
But that's the great skill in life. Someone will want a talkative driver, someone will want a quiet driver.
That's right, yeah.
So, our holy half hour has come to its end, I'm afraid, Tommy. We thank you very much for coming in and sharing all these things about North Ayrshire Cancer Care. But can I just say that well done you for all the work you do quietly behind the scenes. Well done, everybody through North Ayrshire Cancer Care who helps with the driving and everything else that you do. And if there's anybody listening out there who's been inspired with the thoughts of this, please contact us. Where could they contact if they would like to take part in the charity?
Muirside Lodge, 01294 552223. One of the girls in the office will give you a form to fill in, and what happens is you can come in and see us and decide how you could fit into what group.
Right, well, thanks very much, Tommy, and we wish you well in the future with North Ayrshire Cancer Care. And let's finish on a rousing note. This particular track was specially chosen by Tommy's wife, Ray, so we dedicate it to her. She's been sitting quietly behind him, behind the scenes. This is Status Quo, rocking all over the world.